There might be no better cultural barometer than baby names. They give us a window into what was popular in a given year. And as we approach the end of 2013, we thought it'd be a fun time to check in and see what's hot and what's not when it comes to names. Here to tell us about some of the top names and trends of the past year is Laura Wattenberg. She's the creator of BabyNameWizard.com. Laura, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Glad to be here.
Well, we don't have the final numbers from the Social Security Administration. They tally all the names, I gather. But based on what you've seen, what are your leading contenders for the names of the year, for boys and girls?
I think that some of the hottest names in America are actually Wisconsin-style names this year. Hmm. Wisconsin has its own unique twist on the national trends, a little bit more classic but quirky. So not necessarily James and Elizabeth, but more like Nora and Owen. And this year, the two names I would look for as fast risers are Leo for boys and Penelope for girls. I think you'll see a lot of them where you are.
That seems like it's an ongoing trend where a name will disappear for a while, it'll sound old-fashioned, and then it gets resurrected and cool again somehow. Why do you think that happens?
I think that we need to wait for the name to get out of our system. So our own names sound ordinary. Our parents are boring. Our grandparents are old. Then by the time you get back to your great-grandparents' time, you didn't hear all those names growing up, so they sound fresh again.
Yeah, great-aunt Penelope, maybe remember her. Great-great-aunt Penelope is an interesting historical figure, and we can name somebody after her again.
Exactly. And meanwhile, your grandparents will be horrified that you're using such an old-fashioned name.
It is really a generational thing, isn't it? Do we have a real generation gap when it comes to names?
There's a huge generation gap, and that's always been the case. We're always, whatever names our parents think are the hottest are the names that we think are most boring. But that's accelerating because the pace of change is accelerating. There literally is no more normal today. The typical American child now gets a name that would be surprising to people in much of the country. So the average names today, statistically, are names like Paisley for girls and Giovanni for boys.
See, and when somebody's naming somebody that name, and this is true with one of my daughters, we're thinking, ah, that's an approachable name, but unique, until you get to school and find five other kids with that same unique name.
It's really disconcerting. Our name taste feels completely personal.
Right.
You don't know why you like this. It's not like there are billboards on the highway telling you, you must name your daughter Violet. But it's in the air, and whatever sounds good to you probably sounds good to your friends and neighbors.
Is it harder to name kids in modern times? Because in some countries, in some times, you look on the calendar, which saint is it today? Okay, that's the name of my kid. Or we've been alternating these two names in family history for five generations. Which John or Paul next, or whatever it might be. We've got so much choice now.
It is absolutely harder. Think of it like shopping for toothpaste. 20 years ago, you go to the store and you say Crest or Colgate. Today, you can just be paralyzed. There are dozens of indistinguishable varieties of Crest and Colgate, and parents are facing the same thing. Is it Braden or Jaden or Hayden or Caden? And there are 20 spellings of each.
The paradox of choice. I've seen that, and I think you referenced it in a piece you wrote a while back.
Absolutely. We think that choice makes it easier for us because we can get whatever we want, but it actually just not only makes it harder to choose, but makes us feel less secure in the choices we make.
And I'll say it's true for naming children, and it's true for naming a new radio talk show. We had pages and pages of potential names before we finally ended up with the one we had, and it worked fine. We probably would have been fine with 30 of the other ones, too.
And that's a good lesson for parents, too. There isn't necessarily one perfect name. You just need a name that makes you happy.
Do people end up with buyer's remorse on a name sometimes, do you think?
I hear that more and more from parents each year. I get really heartbreaking letters from parents who are probably struggling already to, you know, up late with a new baby, and now also worried that the name they chose was wrong, in some cases because they put too much pressure on themselves. Most little infants are just not going to be a Nathaniel or an Anastasia yet. Give them some time.
Do you think, looking at the top names of a year and the rising names, does it tell us something about ourselves? Is it a cultural barometer?
I think of names as a kind of fossil record of culture because it's a really honest indicator. There's no commercial pressure. Parents take the choice seriously, and it really records our hopes and our dreams. So today, with the movement toward more unusual names, I think parents are trying to position their kids for success. They sense that getting attention is the way to get ahead.
Let's get to some of the other names that are popular or on the rise. Let's start with the girls first, if that's okay.
Sure. The hottest trend there, it's for boys and girls, but especially on the girls' side, is we can't stand consonants. Any kind of letter sound that makes your tongue stop is out for girls. So the fastest risers are names like Aria and Mila that sort of flow like liquid.
Okay. And boys, you're seeing some of the same thing, too?
We are. Actually, a great pair of names to look at is Mila and Liam. It's perfect anagrams for boys and girls that are rising fast.
So
the
hot
letter on the boys' side, I'd say, is O. So whereas Liam was the fastest riser last year, you might look at Leo this year.
I'm not thinking very creatively right now. What kind of names does that mean we're avoiding?
The ultimate names we're avoiding are the Germanic names like Mildred and Gertrude. But we're also avoiding things that we don't even realize. So, for instance, on the boys' side, a third of American boys now get a name ending in N. That it's an incredible, unprecedented trend.
Wow.
And we come to that from all different ways. So one family is looking at biblical names like Ethan and Nathan. Another is looking at maybe presidential surnames like Jackson and Lincoln. But we all end up with those same sounds sounding good. And that bumps a lot of other names off the table.
And Wisconsin's capital city, Madison, I believe, has trended up in recent years.
And Madison ended up on the girls' side through the pure historical accident of the mermaid movie Splash, where the mermaid named herself after Madison Avenue in New York.
Oh, okay. And that a lot of people, I wanted to run with that a little, the pop culture influence over names. You mentioned Arya. Which is a prominent name in the Game of Thrones books and now TV series. And the author I know, George R. R. Martin, has a picture page where people put up babies they've named after his characters.
My favorite Game of Thrones name trend is Khaleesi, which is the title.
It's a title in the book, yeah.
Yeah, it means queen in Dothraki, which a language he invented. And that now is actually starting to rise low on the charts, but we're seeing babies named Khaleesi.
I don't know. If you know what that means, that could give you a bit of an attitude about yourself, I think. Well, you're named the queen. Everybody bows and scrapes to you.
Plenty of girls named princess out there.
Well, and how about the Hunger Games and Katniss? Am I saying that right? Are people going with that one?
That's a great example of how names aren't influenced by pop culture. And celebrities have a huge influence, but it's really more about the name than the fame. So the Hunger Games for the last 2 years has been one of the hottest properties out there. The heroine is named Katniss. No kids are getting named Katniss. No kids are getting named Peeta after the love interest, because that's just not what we're looking for. But at the same time, last year, the fastest rising name in America was Cataleya, which was the heroine of a movie about an assassin. Made almost no impact on culture, but the name struck a chord.
So then it can't just be a popular thing. The name itself has to be close enough to something you might have named a kid anyway.
Exactly. So once Madison started to decline, Addison seemed just right.
Yeah, and I know when Star Wars came out, I bet there were some Lukes, maybe some Leias, not a lot of Obi-Wans.
Exactly.
We're talking with Laura Wattenberg about the top baby names of 2013, and we want to hear from you. What names have you noticed becoming popular this year? If you work in schools, is there a cohort of different name changes coming through your grade? If you recently had, and hopefully eventually named, a baby, what name did you choose? What influenced your decision? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email, talk@WPR.org. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickett will be back with me on Wednesday. We're talking about the top baby names of the past year. You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is there a name you have a question about? A name that you've seen and thought, oh, that's unusual, but kind of cool or kind of weird? Are you looking for a name? If so, Congratulations, and let us know what is in the running. 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. You can ask questions of our guest, Laura Wattenberg, creator of BabyNameWizard.com, and she's the author of the book, The Baby Name Wizard. We'll go to the phones now. We have Jacob with us in Viroqua. Jacob, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jacob?
I've noticed the name Jackson. I volunteered at the elementary school. It's a more traditional name, but it's spelled J-A-X-E-N, a little more untraditional.
All right, so, Jackson, but a different spelling. What do you make of that, Laura?
Yes, Jackson is rising in all of its spellings, lots of spelling with an X. Partially, that's just a national love affair with the name, with the letter X. So every name like Max or any form or Alexis. But there's also a video game character named Jax, J-A-X. And a lot of parents are choosing the X spelling to get that as the nickname.
To get Jax, the video game character, as a nickname. Interesting. So sound-alikes, but they spell them differently. Is that common beyond Jackson and Jackson?
We're seeing different spellings all over the map. And part of the reason is that we're moving away from traditional names, that you're just not going to spell Henry with an I-E at the end. That is, once you choose to name a son Braden instead, then there is no standard spelling and parents get creative.
Thanks for the call, Jacob. Here's a caller with an interesting name. Serenity is with us in Lesueur, Minnesota. Serenity, hi.
Hi.
So first of all, tell us the story behind your name, if you would, and then we can move on to the ones you actually wanted to bring up.
So my parents named me after the Serenity Prayer, which they prayed a lot during their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually usually go by the names Ren or Rennie.
Rennie, okay.
Which is an abbreviated form of Serenity.
Interesting. And then what names did you want to bring up or ask about?
Well, I've noticed that, like, place names have become really popular, like Dallas and Alaska, Paris, London, all sorts of names like that you hear just out of the blue.
Interesting.
Kind of interesting. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for the call, Serenity. Well, I think of Indiana Jones, but that was a nickname within the movie. There was a London Fletcher, a football player. I think he's maybe still in the NFL. Oh, what do you make of that? Place names as people names?
I think place names fill a certain role, that if a parent wants something that sounds fresh and creative, but that people will recognize, they'll know how to spell and pronounce, place names are a great way to get that. And just on the name Serenity, the interesting thing is when that caller was born, I'll bet that name raised a lot of eyebrows. Serenity is now a top 100 name for girls in the United States.
Really? Wow. Okay. Well, that's one to watch for. And by the way, speaking of place names, Atlanta emails, I was wondering how often your guest has come across my name, Atlanta. My nickname is Addie.
I think that that's really an underused name, that Georgia and Savannah are both hot names, but Atlanta, we don't hear much.
That's right. The cities get all the fun, but not the state in that case. Thanks, Atlanta, for that email. Thanks, Serenity, for your call. We'll go to Lance with us in Milwaukee. Lance, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What names are on your mind?
Well, we actually had a baby girl the 6th last week, Friday.
Oh, just congratulations.
Yeah, and we went with the first name is Harper, mm-hmm. and her middle name is Eleanor after my wife's grandma.
So and why Harper, if I can ask? Not that I'm judging. It sounds like a great name.
Yeah. We liked the name, and we started off by kind of figuring out what the top 20 or 30 names are or so and completely crossing those off the list because we didn't want to have a child that was one of many in her school. We wanted her to have a unique name. It was a name that we liked the sound of, and we went with it.
Lance, thanks for the call, and welcome to Harper, Eleanor. So is Harper common, Laura?
Harper is, it's not super common, but it's a very hot name today. It has that androgynous surname sound, but still feels feminine because the Harper that most of us think of is author Harper Lee, who is a woman. Mm-hmm. But I think that's interesting the way they said they went about choosing that name, the idea that you cross off everything popular, which shows just how hard this decision is. I mean, imagine if you went into a restaurant and crossed off all the items on the menu that everybody likes best. that's what we're all doing to ourselves. We're looking for something that is that everybody likes but nobody uses.
And you mentioned taking that name from the family, Eleanor, and planting that as the middle name. Is that pretty common?
The more common, I think, than ever before, because we're so focused on style today. If we might love our grandparents every bit as much as past generations did, but we're not willing to sacrifice first name style to name after those grandparents.
We'll go back to our callers now. We have Lynn with us in Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. Yeah, it's just Lynn Ann. My mother was a minimalist. I'm 58 years old. We had three syllables in our last name, and she thought there were too many syllables to utter to do anything fancy. My daughter, his name is Magdalene. It's M-A-G-D-A-L-Y-N, after a great-grandmother of mine, Magdalene, and then her middle name. Also, my great-grandmother's Elizabeth, and our last name contains four syllables. But I wouldn't. I'm into naming after relatives, but I wouldn't have named after Magdalene's husband, Clement, because to me, growing up in, you know, northern United States, it's just a little bit kind of southern cartoonish to me.
Huh. I mean,
so we do have prejudices built into, you know, what we name our children.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lynn. So a lot of considerations there. First, number of syllables. Laura, do you think people are juggling that? If they have longer last names, they balance it out by going for a shorter first name?
It is a full composition. It's almost like composing a little line of poetry to have the first and last name. One mistake, though, is sometimes parents love a name, a first name that doesn't go with their last name, and they'll choose a middle name to fix it, except you never use that middle name. It's just you have to make the first name work.
And she also mentioned regional meanings of names or prejudices of names. Clement, she didn't want to pull from the family because it sounded more southern than Wisconsin.
It's interesting that she hears Southern. I think of Clement Clark Moore, the author of Visit from St. Nicholas. But every name does call up a whole world of associations. It really is full of meaning. You see that when the Pope chooses a name or the British royal family chooses a new baby name, that name sends all these signals. And it's true for the names we choose for our children as well.
We'll go to the phones again. Jenny in Bloomington now. Jenny, hi. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to mention that my husband and I named our baby girl. She's two now, but we named her a very unique name. We named our daughter after both of her grandfathers. Her name is Charlie Ray. And we wanted to spell it more feminine, of course, because she's a little girl. And so we spelled it Charlie with an I, and we spelled Ray, the feminine form of Ray, R-A-E. But we thought it was very special that a granddaughter be named after her grandfathers. We did get a few raised eyebrows over it, but we think it was very unique. And we noticed the name Charlie coming back over the last couple of years because of the popular TV show, well, Good Luck Charlie on Disney. And we, you know, so we thought it would be okay, but we did spell it differently. But I thought it was unique that she's named after her grandfathers.
Interesting. Thanks a lot, Jenny. It seems like names go from male to female, Laura, a lot more than they go the other way.
Traditionally, that has always been the case. There are names today, like Shirley, that we just can't imagine were ever considered male names. But sometimes today, we'll see a celebrity pushing a name back the other way. So the name Ashton, for instance, has started to tip over to the girl side as sort of a variant on Ashley until Ashton Kutcher came along and pushed it back.
We have a tweet from Leah. She says, we named our baby girl Willow. She was born January 31st of this year. Well, congratulations, Leah and Willow. That I think there was a movie way back when in the 80s, and then Buffy the Vampire Slayer, a key character named Willow. Do you think that's had some resonance there?
Those both did have an effect, and Willow Smith.
Will Smith,
and Jada Pinkett Smith's daughter also. There's also a Willow, I believe, in Sarah Palin's family. It's actually one of the names that's most popular in rural areas. For some reason, certain names gravitate more toward cities and more toward the country.
We have a caller now, Gus in Green Bay. Gus, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just wondering, curious about the name Scout for a boy. I'm getting a grandson here maybe this week named Scout, and I've not heard it used before. Is that something more popular these days?
Gus, congratulations on the impending birth of Scout. And that seems like a name I've seen here and there, Laura.
The name Scout is an interesting one because it has a really rugged sound and meaning, and it's close to the boy's name, Scott. So you could picture it being used along with names like Rider and Maverick that are sort of macho for boys. But the Scout that's most prominent was a girl in To Kill a Mockingbird. So you actually see Scout a little bit more often for girls, despite the sound.
Anne in St. Germain emails us, "We had our first baby in October. After combing the baby names over and over, we decided to name our boy after my favorite uncle, Murray. I don't think I've ever met someone," she writes, "with this name. It has much more meaning to us, meant the world to my uncle." That is a name that I think it's probably fallen into that old-fashioned category for a long time.
It does. You don't even hear it as a surname, which is what it originally was. But I really applaud those parents for going with the name that meant something to them. We're often looking more to a sort of global audience. How will this name come across on a resume? But it's still, you're still part of your family, and that inward-facing meaning is important.
Give us some predictions, Laura, before we're done, please. What's going to be hot in 2014?
I think the name trend maker to look for is the upcoming movie Divergent, based on a really hot young adult novel. The lead characters there are Beatrice and Tobias, who go by Tris and Four. I think that's likely to be the hit maker of the year.
And those are, again, that's in the category of names that you might have named somebody anyway. It's not a really bizarre fantasy world kind of name.
They're absolutely traditional names, but names that maybe wouldn't have come to mind until you see that movie.
Well, Laura, you and I may have been named after the same show. I was supposedly named after Dick Van Dyke's character, Rob, on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and he was married to Mary Tyler Moore's character, Laura.
So Rob and Laura Petrie, the perfect couple of our generation.
And I was also named after the greatest Detroit Red Wings hockey player of all time. I'm happy with Rob and not Gordy.
Well, I live in Boston, so I'm not going to even begin to get into that.
You won't dignify that. Laura, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure.
That's Laura Wattenberg. She's the creator of BabyNameWizard.com. She's got a book of the same name, but without the .com.